Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, as Coastal GasLink announces they have completed installation of their gas pipeline from Northeast BC to the LNG Canada site in Kitimat, courts in Smithers heard cases against Wet'suwet'en land defenders this past week. Prosecutors allege Chief Zahale of the Wet'suwet'en and several other clan members violated a court injunction during construction of the CGL pipeline. These cases have been dragging through the court system for nearly 2 years now, and several cases are not likely to be resolved until 2024. All defendants were arrested at various times over the past 3 years, a saga that seems to have no end in sight. The RCMP's Sirg division continues to patrol the CGL pipeline route and arrest Gitindam camp supporters with the same line, quote, "Our actions and those of the individuals arrested are subject to the same judicial process that we must respect." The last arrest was in March of this year. Today, we'll speak with Slato, also known as Molly Wickham, about the toll these prolonged court cases are having on all those involved and where this might all end. Stay with us.
I'm Slato Molly Wickham, and I'm the spokesperson for Gitindam Checkpoint.
Great, Molly. Thanks so much for being with us again here on CSEK News. This has been going on for quite some time, your resistance to the Coastal GasLink pipeline. And now we've reached, after several years, to a point where we're seeing the criminal trials of a few of your supporters coming to, hopefully soon, a conclusion. But maybe you can give us a breakdown of how this past month has been going. There were a number of your supporters in court and still some proceedings to be dealt with. But maybe give us an overall picture of what was going on this month and who was on trial and why.
So we had the trial for Sabina Dennis. She's our Deckhouse sister that has been involved, for almost a decade in supporting the Wet'suwet'en, a relative of ours. And she was standing trial for criminal contempt. And so the prosecution made its arguments against her. The defense made its arguments, and the proceedings weren't completed, and so those will carry forward into the week of November 27th with closing argument submissions and then sentencing on the 29th. We also had two other supporters and land defenders that pled out that week of Sabina's trial, and, the reasons, being that they had a new baby. They don't live around here. People have lives. This is 2 years later, and a lot of changes in scheduling, a lot of back and forth with trials. And so they ended up taking a plea deal and pleading guilty to criminal contempt. And what's interesting is the one person got 225 hours of community service. That can go up to 3 years of probation, can include up to 3 years of probation. They have 3 years to do it. And so the whole time that they would be on doing the community service, they would be on probation, which to me is a really, really steep sentence for criminal contempt of a civil injunction. And so we're in the second week of Sahil's trial, where the defense is presenting their case. And hopefully it will be concluded by the end of this week, but then a decision will be made. And if it needs to carry over, then it'll carry over till the week of the 27th as well. We also have three more trials in the abuse of process that's happening in January now. It's gotten pushed back. We've been dealing with criminal contempt charges basically all fall. And so my trial, Shaylin Sampson's trial, and Corey Jocko's trial will be in January, begin in January, including the abuse of process.
I guess, Molly, you know, practical question, you know, this is years of having to deal with this type of, you know, pressure of a court case. I'm having to deal with lawyers, you know, figure out the prosecution's arguments, your own arguments. And this has been going on for some time. You know, we saw the original blockades and arrests in 2019. You know, this is going on almost 5 years now. And, you know, how does it feel to have this, you know, and for your supporters as well, hanging over them all this time to the point where, you know, it's a question of what is actually going to come out of this? What is the prosecution service going to see out of this and yourselves as well? So where does this leave you and some of your supporters feeling at this moment, waiting for a conclusion to all of this?
I think it's very frustrating, and it's, you know, it's one of those cases, and I've been thinking about it a lot because, you know, we don't want to participate in this system that's, you know, in my view, is stacked against us. The fact that there's a civil injunction that doesn't take into account Supreme Court decisions like Delgamuukka Stay Away is so problematic in the first place that we shouldn't have to be dealing with this. But if we don't, we go to jail. It's that simple. You know, we have to defend ourselves in this system that's not designed to take into account our laws and our rights as Indigenous people. You know, and on top of that, the violence that we've experienced at the hands of the police and CGL and their private security is, you know, something that nobody should ever have to experience. And then to add on to that, how degrading it is to be in the court system where prosecution, you know, is degrading our inherent rights as Indigenous people and, you know, and degrading our laws and undermining our laws as Wet'suwet'en people and the laws of the land. It's extremely challenging. Not to mention the fact that this is years later that we have been living with restrictions on our ability to access our territories and exercise our rights as Indigenous people. So years of conditions that restrict us in really severe ways on the territory. And so, and that's not going to be concluded now, probably until, you know, 2025, 2024. Who knows when, maybe halfway through the next year, depending on when sentencing is. So these are some severe limits and restrictions on us as human beings, as Wet'suwet'en and Indigenous people in our own lands that have been continuing on. And there's no light at the end of the tunnel at this point. You know, things keep dragging on and things keep getting extended. And it's designed to do that because it takes our energy, it takes our resources. You know, lawyers aren't cheap. These things cost a lot of money. And, you know, CGL and the Crown have endless amounts of it. So they can just keep putting us through this.
I know generous supporters have been, you know, right behind you this whole time. How have you guys been able to raise the kind of funds required for these lengthy legal battles?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just support from community members and, you know, our supporters from around the world that have continued to donate to the legal fund. And yeah, this has been going on for 2 years, you know, well, for almost 5 years that we've been paying lawyers and consistently. And, you know, so many people were arrested over the years. And fortunately, you know, for people that can't be on the ground, sometimes that's the only way that they can support is to send money. And it's greatly appreciated and needed because, yeah, we have, you know, different teams of lawyers that for all the legal proceedings, because we also have a civil case right now that's ongoing against the police, CGL, and Foresight Security.
You know, Molly, a couple other questions for you. CGL has announced that they have put all the pipe in the ground now. So getting close to, obviously, you know, finishing up some of the work at these sites. The facility is not yet completed, but looks like it is on schedule to be completed in the next couple of years and start shipping LNG gas through that pipeline and out through Kitimat. Where does the movement, your movement, go from here, knowing that this pipeline is in the ground, but there are others that are still on the drawing board? So where do you and your supporters in the Gidimnim camp go from here?
Well, I think this has always been bigger than just this one pipeline, and I think that remains true. This is about, you know, Wet'suwet'en law, upholding Wet'suwet'en law, taking care of the territories, protecting the waters, and protecting the people. And, you know, CGL will make huge claims about the project for their investors and to secure, you know, their bottom line. But the fact of the matter is they're not done this project. They haven't completed, you know, all the necessary work that needs to be done for any gas to be flowing through these pipes. And there's also the question of additional compressor stations that are on the table that are going to have huge impacts on our territories that we're having to look at right now. And then, you know, the next one is Pacific Trails Pipeline, owned by Enbridge, that we've been fighting for over a decade, since 2015 when they lost their investment. And then Enbridge recently, within the last couple of years, bought that pipeline project. So I think that this is a bigger issue that we have been looking at and have been striving towards, because this isn't the last project that's going to try to come through the territory or going to try to drill under the Wet'suwet'en law or going to be impacting our salmon and our ability to drink the water. This is the first of many. And so I think that's why it's been such a huge conflict, is because industry and government know that they're trying to set a precedent, and we're trying to set a precedent that this cannot keep going on like this and that we won't allow it.
You know, as I mentioned, the work, and as you mentioned, the work is still going on. Are there plans to continue pushing back on this project? And on the same note, as you mentioned, there are others coming down the line. What are you hearing from neighboring nations and their struggles dealing with things that you guys have been dealing with for several years now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the writing's on the wall about what that's going to look like for other Indigenous communities in the area. You know, like, you know, the Gik'san are dealing with the PRGT pipeline, other proposed pipelines going through their territories. There's other huge, massive industrial projects that are slated to go through our territories and neighboring nations. And we're trying to share that information, like collectively show what has happened to us. How can people start preventing those things from happening? What work can they do preemptively so that they're not responding to, you know, 24-hour quick response teams and TAC teams and ERT teams in their territories arresting their people because they're standing up for their rights and title to their land. So I think that that's a bigger conversation. And fortunately and unfortunately, we were the example that people could see what's going to happen. And that's what we were trying to tell everybody. And that's why people were invested in our struggle, is because they knew that if that could happen to us, it could happen to them. And that's the unfortunate, you know, preview of what could be coming for other Indigenous people.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.